Alrighty, let's go ahead and get started. How's everyone doing? Good morning so far? Alright, so my name is Nathan Totten. I'm a technical evangelist at Microsoft. I work on Windows Azure. I work on Windows Azure websites in particular. I do also some work with Node.js, ASP.NET, a variety of different things. So a technical evangelist is a bit of a strange job, hard to describe. But one of the things I do is come to events like this and give talks. So Wade earlier, just the last session, gave us kind of an overview of what Windows Azure is. And I think some people were in that session. Additionally, yesterday, if you were in the pre-keynote, we also did some demos. I actually demoed Windows Azure websites. Hopefully this time around, for those that did see that, we will have things work for us. So as we know, sometimes things go wrong in demos. So before we get started, I want to do a little bit of a websites in perspective. What are Windows Azure websites? I assume most people in here probably haven't used Windows Azure websites, as it is pretty new. We actually just released this product back in June, so just a few months old. So everyone who's a developer is probably familiar with the concepts of you're running your server, right? So normally when you're running your own data center or a server on your on-premise or even in a co-located environment, you're responsible for the entire stack. Everything from the hardware to the virtualization layer, all the way up to your data in your application. So Windows Azure cloud hosting offers a variety of different solutions to abstract some of that complexity away from the developer. The first thing we offer on Windows Azure is called virtual machines. These are pretty simple, just basically any OS, Linux, or Windows running in the cloud. You're still responsible for your operating system, patch management, virtual networks, all the way up again to your data and application. So pretty simple, just basically we take care of the hardware and virtualization layer for you. We also offer something called cloud services. These are another step up from Windows Azure Virtual Machines in that we basically take care of the operating system for you. We actually take care of patching, some of the configuration and performance optimization around the operating system, but you're still responsible for some stuff like configuring your networking, and then again all the way, like things like the firewall, and then things up to, again, your application and your data. Windows Azure Websites is all about simplicity. The idea with Windows Azure Websites is that it just works. We take care of everything from the hardware all the way up to the web server for you. As a developer, you're responsible for writing the code and putting the data where you want it. Other than that, we take care of everything for you. You really don't even have to worry about with Windows Azure websites. You don't even really have to worry about what web server we're running on. Obviously, we are running on IIS. We are Microsoft. It's not an Apache server. But we take care of everything for you. You really don't need to think about that. So the idea with Windows Azure websites, again, is you write your code, you deploy it quickly, and it just works in the cloud. So there's a couple key fundamentals we like to talk about with Windows Azure websites. The first one is start simple. Windows Azure websites is very easy to get started. A couple seconds to sign up, and you'll see in the demo a couple seconds to create a site and deploy in just literally in 2 minutes you can be up and running. Code smart, so you can work on any language you want, or for the most part any language or framework. We support a variety of different things. The demos I'm going to show today are all ASP.NET. We're at Microsoft Tech Ed, so I'm assuming that most of you are .NET developers. However, most companies don't live in the vacuum of using only one language, one framework. So Windows Azure Websites supports PHP, we support Node.js, we support classic ASP. You can run most things, most any language or framework you would want to run works on Windows Azure Websites. Additionally, we also support development on a variety of different platforms. We have command line tools, we have documentation, we have all kinds of resources that help developers work on any platform they choose. So sometimes you may have a company that has some people running on Mac OS. I know this happens, even though we don't like it. We know this happens. So we actually let, with Windows Azure Websites, you could be a developer running on Mac or Linux and actually use Windows Azure Websites deployed to the cloud. Obviously, we support very rich tooling and a great environment for Windows. We obviously support Visual Studio, but again, it's a very open and flexible platform. And then we also like to say go live. So this is sort of basically the things like monitoring, performance, scale, all of these things sort of are taken care of either for you or made very easy. So Windows Azure websites, again, are about simplicity and about getting started very quickly. So to jump in, I actually just want to demo this. It's really easy, so there's really nothing more we can show for slides. We'll get back to some slides in a second. I know that that's what everyone wants to see. But what I want to do is actually show you just how easy it is to get started with Windows Azure. And fingers crossed, it'll work this time, unlike yesterday. So let me just switch over to my demo machine. All right. So I've got Visual Studio open. So if you were in Wade's talk or some of the other talks, you've probably already seen this new Windows Azure portal. We redesigned our portal. It's all written in HTML5. Again, it doesn't just work on Internet Explorer. It works on a variety of platforms. We actually spent time even testing it on an iPad. So we wanted to make sure that this portal works on any environment. We support Windows Azure websites uses the same portal. So creating this is really simple. I'm going to actually go ahead and create a website with a database. I want to just get started with something simple, but I need to store my data. So let me just go ahead and call this something. I'm going to add some random characters there. Select my subscription, select my region. I'm just going to leave that the same. And then I'm going to go ahead and actually create a new SQL database. So we can select an existing server, or we can select create a new SQL server. So this is SQL running in the cloud. This is our hosted SQL environment. Again, very similar to what we like to do with Windows Azure websites, making it very easy. So create a new database. I'm just going to type my username and password, and then select my location and click Create. And this is going to take a couple seconds, but what's happening here is we're spinning up a new website, we're creating a database server for you, it's a shared database server, and then we're actually creating a database for this application. So it's going to take about 10, 15, it always takes awkwardly longer when you're demoing, but there it's created. So we created, again, a website and a database for this application. And let me click into this and we have our nice portal. Now I want to deploy this. Again, if you may have seen this yesterday, but we're going to hope it works today. So to deploy to Windows Azure websites, we make this super easy. We use WebDeploy. There's a variety of different deployment mechanisms, which I'll talk about in a second. But WebDeploy is super easy. What I'm going to do is download this thing called a publish profile, and this contains all of the information we need to actually publish to Windows Azure, everything from the service URL where we actually publish to, all the way to our username and password. It's encrypted, but this basically means we can just import this and publish in just a second. It also actually contains the connection string information for that database we created, so we don't need to manually type in our web config file or do any deployment script that actually changes the database. The publish profile will do all of that for us. So I'm going to go ahead and create a new project just to show how easy this is. I'm going to use an internet application, pretty standard. Just take a second to create that. And then I just want to publish that. So we've all seen this, probably basic. So this is a MVC4 internet application. So publish that, import the publish profile we just downloaded. And you can see here the service URL, the site application we're publishing to, the password, the destination URL. We can also change some advanced settings. I'm not going to do that now. So we're going to publish this, and let's all cross our fingers. Looks like it's working today. So the demo gods have smiled upon us this morning. Excellent. So let's spin up our site here. And there we go. So that was really it. This is really the key to Windows Azure websites, right? It's not all that exciting. This is sort of a basic, 100 level demo. Anyone can do this. But this really, this is the fundamental point behind Windows Azure websites. It really is that easy. I'll obviously show some more advanced things. We can scale this up to very large size. If we want to run a large application on there, we can scale this up. But that's how easy it is to get started with Windows Azure websites. Now I want to show you some cool things actually with what we can do with data, some of the new tooling we have in Visual Studio, as well as some of that stuff we support with Windows Azure websites. So I'm going to go ahead and actually add, I want to make a little application, the sort of tech ed application. So let's just go ahead and actually add, I want to just make a list of sessions. So I'm going to create a class here, just a simple model. Using MVC4, we're going to use EF code first. So let's add some properties, an ID. session number and just the session title. We'll keep it simple. And then I'm going to use EF code first, and I'm going to create a database context. So let's just call this TechEd context. And using our EF code first object here, really simple to create this database context. So DB set and session. And then we'll just call this sessions. So what I have here now is a model, which is my session I'm going to store in the database we just created in this database context. Using some of the great tooling in MVC4, let me build that first. Some of the great tooling in MVC4, I'm actually just going to create a controller called session controller using that model that I actually just made. So we're going to select this template, MVC controller with read-write actions using EF. It's also going to create the views for us. Model class, session I just created, and then the database context. TechEd context, and we'll use the Razor template and click add, and it's going to actually, the MVC tooling is going to create a new controller for us and then the views. So what we have here is just our basic controller view, the details of this session, not too exciting, pretty simple, and then we have all the standard index views to view our object we created, and then the edit, etc. So what I really want to show you though is this stuff with what we have for data migrations. So at any framework code first, web deploy, Windows Azure websites all make deploying your data, getting your data into the cloud super easy. So we have this thing called database migrations. There's a few different flavors of it. One, we can have an automatic migration, sort of everything's handled for us. I want to show you kind of the manual migration. So if I'm a developer and I want to do, if I'm testing this application, one of the common scenarios is I actually want data in my database, right? I don't want to have to go through the UI and create a new object every time so I can get five or six items in there to kind of test. So I'm going to enable migrations on here. And is that? That's probably too small, isn't it? Let me, let's just move. So I'm just going to run, this is the only really thing. So enable migrations. So I'm going to enable migrations. This is EF migrations. This is just a simple command here. And then I'm going to select my database context I just created. Context type name, and it's MVC application 1.models.techedContext. Enable migrations. And this is then going to create a migrations folder in here. So it did two things for us. It created this configuration, which has a few methods in it, seed, and then it actually created this initial create. And this actually took our session, the session objects and the context, and actually built a up and a down method. And this actually enables us to set up our database. So this is actually setting up our database with that session object. The up is if we're moving to that, we can actually also migrate down. But what I'm going to show you is how easy this is to actually set up in Windows Azure websites. The other thing I want to do is, again, I mentioned we want to actually have some initial data in here. So I'm going to go ahead and just add some data using this seed method. Context, sessions, add or update. And let's just add a few sessions. ID 1, number, this is AZR212, and the title is Windows Azure Websites. And let's just add another one. Add or update, new session, ID 2, number, AZR213, and I forgot what the session after this is. Something awesome. Oops. I don't know what it is, but it's probably awesome. And oops, that is not what I want to type. And context, save. So what I did here is in this seed method, this sort of tells our database how to set itself up. So Windows Azure Websites actually supports this. So this is end-to-end. Without touching my database, remember, I haven't opened SQL Explorer, I haven't done anything like that. Now I'm going to actually redeploy that application using the same published profile I just created. I'm going to go back here, and so I have this TechEd context. Remember you don't see my password. There you see my password. Okay, there we go. I'll go over there. Everyone forget that. So remember, we downloaded this published profile with the website. We never touched SQL. We never did anything. I never even opened my web config file to change my connection string. The published profile contained all this information, and WebDeploy is smart enough to know that I'm using this EF code first context. I actually have two contexts. One, it gives me the default connection string, which if we're using something like ASP session state. But what I've done is then I selected that database connection string that was in my published profile. I selected to use that with my context. The next thing that we support in Windows Azure Web Science is code first migrations. So I'm going to check this box, and what this is going to do is actually tell Windows Azure Web Science to run that seed method and that migration that I created. So Windows Azure Web Science is going to set up our database for us and get it ready to go. We could use this to do all kinds of stuff. I mean, we could import data. We could do really anything. We're just doing something quite simple. Click Next, and then I'm just going to publish. And you'll notice here, this actually is going to take, hopefully, not as long as the first time we published this application. And the reason for that is web deploy to Windows Azure Web Sites is incremental. So it actually only published the things that I changed, which was actually just my MVC1 assembly. Everything else, all the dependencies, all the other packages, were already on the server, and web deploy was smart enough to know that, so we didn't re-upload that. This saves us a lot of time. So this is my, let's navigate to my session controller. Missed that step. Thank you for pointing that out. So my very excellent naming, default one. How exciting. Missed that step. So, an error occurred. What did I do? Well, this is a... All right. Let's run this one. What did we do here? Let's deploy one more time just to make sure. Otherwise, we can... Did I make sure to... Execute code first, it's the right one. Next, publish. All right, well, that is no good. Fun stuff. Initial create, so we created our session. Let's run this locally and just make sure everything's working. Default one. Model backing con. Oh, that's not right. All right. Let's hang on 1 second. Add migration. Let's just make sure we're ready. New something. All right. So for some reason, it thinks we changed our model. Session number. Okay, let's try this one more time. That should work now. Maybe I didn't hit save in the right time. Oh, I bet I didn't compile it. All right, so now we have two migrations, and it should work this time. Hooray, okay. So what happened is I actually, I forgot to compile when I enabled migrations. So you actually have to compile the application, otherwise it doesn't know what your context is. So that initial, when it actually initially created my application, it didn't actually create all the columns necessary in that session object. So that was me forgetting to compile. So I recompiled it. I actually enabled a different migration, which actually shows us something pretty cool. We have two migrations. So you'll see the first one actually created my session object. My session object in the database, and then my next one did something else, added a column, and I don't know what that did. All right, it did something weird. Let's move along, move right along. So anyway, we see how easy it was to actually create that. So Windows Azure Web Sites, again, was smart enough. By just clicking that box, enabling migration, it ran that seed method. It populated with those two columns, and we can now go ahead and add those ourselves. So our database, again, without touching our database at all, 214 and something else. without actually touching our database, without opening SQL Management Server, just using the publish to Windows Azure websites, we were able to get up and running in just a few minutes with the database. So I think that's super easy. The next thing I want to show you is diagnostics, which actually would have come in handy a second ago. So diagnosing your application on Windows Azure websites is also quite easy. So one common problem with ASP sites, right, is you don't want to enable diagnostics on your production site. You don't want people to see the real error messages. You don't want to enable, you know, you don't want to enable the detail there. You want to show them something friendly. So we actually through our logging and diagnostics, expose all of the IIS logs, all of the original error pages, everything to you as a developer, so you can see all that back-end goodness without having to, you know, enable diagnostics, enable or turn off custom errors, that kind of stuff, which you wouldn't want to do on an application running in the cloud. So first thing I'm going to do is go back to our portal, and by default, we don't have diagnostics running. So I'm going to go ahead and go to my Configure tab, and we've got a couple different things. I'm just going to turn on all three of these. And hit save. So now we have all of our failed request tracing, our detailed error message, and our web server logging, again, giving you full access to the IIS logs enabled. Going back to our site, I'm just going to navigate to, let's click details, and let's just navigate to a session that doesn't exist, session we have entered that doesn't exist. Loading. Just taking a little bit longer to load since we just changed the web config file. Basically, we recycled that app pull. So I'm on ID 1. Let me just go ahead and go to ID 5, which we haven't made yet. So we get some 404 pages. I'm just going to refresh a couple times. Now, opening our favorite FTP client, we actually, to keep it really simple, we expose all this data to you with FTP. So I'm going to go back to my dashboard to get my FTP information. Type in my host, let me just copy my username, and then my password, which you guys already know if you were paying attention. So now we're connected up to Windows Azure, to our website. You'll see a couple things in here. First off, you have full access to the site. So there's a variety of different publish methods in here. If you want to go really old school, you can publish your website via FTP. I wouldn't recommend it. But it is available. There's a few other ones that I'll talk about briefly. So this other thing that's more interesting, we have this log files folder. So I just had a few errors, right? I went to a page that doesn't exist. We got a few 404s, which doesn't really help me much. But as a developer, we actually let you see the original error message. So just right-click view or edit. And instead of that friendly 404, we get the more detailed 404. We also give you access to, again, raw logs. Oops, my font is quite large. Can everyone see that? So full request logs, and then also again the full IIS tracing. So we can go and say open that. And this is actually really cool. We actually enable you to step through the entire request and see the full details of this. So even though this is sort of a shared, open that in something that properly renders XML, or not, there we go, why is that not rendering, view source, there we go, fancy. So we give, it's supposed to display, I don't know why that's not displaying, oh, let's refresh it actually, okay, anyway. We give you this, obviously very useful. So again, though, through the XML, we basically give you the full details. There's actually a transform you can run and view that as HTML if you want to view something more interesting. But basically, again, even though this is a shared environment, sort of a multi-tenant system, we enable you, you know, we take care of all the OS patching, all those things for you. We still give you access to the full logs, all the things you as a developer would need to debug and build your application. So now that we've taken care of deployment, diagnostics, we ran into a few issues. That looks awful. I'm going to get that off the screen. This is the highlight of the... So now that we've run it, we've deployed our site a couple times, all in just a few minutes. We added our database. We've debugged our site, looked at some stuff. We want to be able to scale our site. So Windows Azure websites, even though it is sort of a shared environment, very easy to use, we also enable you as a developer to scale your application to be quite large. So I want to switch back to slides here really quick and just show you kind of how scaling on Windows Azure works before I give you a demo of it actually in progress. So there are two different versions of Windows Azure websites, two different hosting models. We have what we call shared and reserved. So even though this is shared, don't think of this as typical shared hosting. This isn't just app pool isolation. We aren't running in a normal shared environment. We actually do a bunch of app virtualization stuff that makes it so even though your application is running on a server with other websites, you're really running in your own dedicated environment. Your app runs as full trust. You can't do things like edit the registry, but you have pretty much full access. You can do I/O operations, things like that. So that's the first model is, again, this shared model. So we deploy a lot of websites to a single virtual machine. This enables us, once we release it, this will enable us to offer this at a very low price. It's high density, low cost hosting. If you want to scale that, we can scale this horizontally. We can scale to multiple shared instances. So each shared instance gives you a certain amount of capacity. So by scaling out to multiple instances in this shared model, you get more capacity. Right now, we limit it to three because we are in a preview. However, you'll be able to go up to virtually unlimited amount once we go live with this. So you can scale your site that way. We also have this reserved model. Reserved, what we do is instead of putting your application on a shared server with a bunch of websites, you can say, I need actually a full virtual machine to myself. This is still a managed virtual machine, so you still don't need to manage patching, you still don't need to configure the website, things like that. But we're going to give you full access to this reserved instance. So this is our standard VM sizes, small, all the way up to extra large, so you can run your website in a very large instance. The other thing to note about this is actually you can do all this scaling without your application going offline. We do all of this so you can go up and down while your application is running. You can also go up to multiple reserved instances. So if you want to run three extra large servers, or once we go live, if you want to run 20 extra large servers with your application, you can do that. You can also use those servers that you've paid for to run multiple of your own sites on the same servers. So we offer a lot of different options for you. If you want to run in the shared model, which is very, very cheap, and actually we give you free options for that, all the way up to this enormous scaled reserved model. So a lot of different options, a lot of flexibility, but the point is with every option of how you want to scale your site, it's still fully managed. It still just works. You don't need to worry about, again, configuring the OS, managing IIS, anything like that. So to show this, I actually want to do a really quick demo and actually show you how easy it is to scale on Windows Azure websites. So scaling wouldn't be any fun without the numbers. So let's go to this. Let's click the scale tab here that we just created. And I'm going to actually run a little. Oh, sorry. Thank you. So right now, as you see, we have our application running in shared mode with one instance. So I'm going to run WCAT, which is basically a load tester, where we're going to run this and see sort of what scale we get. Keep in mind, I am just running this from one server on a conference network. So the numbers I'm going to get here are certainly lower than you would get in real life, but it will show how scaling up will actually increase your throughput, request per second, things like that. So let me just navigate here. I've got a command ready to go. So let me go to D demo and then open WCAT. And I'll open a command window here, and then I'm just going to copy this for the sake of speed. And I'm going to edit this with my site name, which I chose a very nice name there. So basically, again, I just have a script pre-built. This is a tool called WCAT, which is available as it's called the IIS resource kit. And this basically just runs. It's just going to run a bunch of requests to my web application. It's going to give me some numbers. So running that, it's going to run again a few requests. It's going to take a few seconds. But what we'll see here is after this runs for about 10 seconds, we're going to be getting, if everything's going correctly, we're going to be getting about 24 or 25 requests per second. second. Oh, maybe a little more. It's running a little faster. So we've got about 27 requests per second. And we'll go, this will run for a while if I let it, but it'll just keep running. But we're getting 34. We're getting better internet here than I was this morning in the speaker room, so that's great. So we're getting 34 requests per second. It's also telling us how much bandwidth we've used, things like that. Now, we can easily scale this up and actually get even more performance. So let me just, did not mean to close that. Let's just close this. So I'm going to scale this up to reserved, select medium, and let's just go to 2. And you'll see also the really cool thing. Note how easy this is and how fast this is. So we're not actually moving your server to new files. We're not taking this offline while this is happening. We're actually taking your application and just very easily giving it more capacity. So in that took like 2 seconds, and now our application went from running in one shared instance to running in on 2 medium instances, which are 2 cores each with 3.5 gigabytes of memory. We have a much larger capacity. So let me go back to my command prompt and run that just one more time. Select our name again. And if all goes according to plan, we will see that our request per second and other data will actually be quite a bit higher. It's not going to be that much higher because, again, we are running this just from one client. If we were running it from multiple instances, you'd actually see quite a bit larger increase. There are some tools available. There are some companies that have scale testing. So I encourage you to run this yourself. I do know of a number of customers that are running. So it's going to start slow. It should go up in here just a second after a few requests as it averages out. But again, there are some things you can do yourself to actually run this and do load testing. So if you wanted to deploy a real-life application to Windows Azure websites, you can either do this yourself or foiled. Let's make this a little bigger. Let's let it run for a few seconds. It should go up to like 80, but it may be angry with me. So now that we're paying 5 times as much, we get 1 additional request per second. Very impressive. So again, this usually works, but the problem is we are relying on a local internet connection. We're actually probably getting capped by the local proxy server here. So 1 whole extra request per second. So again, I encourage you to run this yourself, but what we did see is how easy it was to scale. Again, we went from a very small shared instance all the way up to 4 cores, 7 gigabytes of memory, with quite a bit more throughput. It actually did, take my word for it, it did increase the throughput quite a bit. That is unfortunate. Yeah, my guess is we're actually getting throttled by the outbound connection limit on the show LAN here. That happens sometimes. So really easy to scale out to Windows Azure websites. You can go to large instances. You can go to multiple instances. Yeah, question real quick. Yeah, so the question was, what kind of rates should you get? So I'm going to not answer that question. And actually, the reason is because we are in preview and we don't have actual published guidelines. You should expect that once we do hit general availability, we will publish more guidelines about that. But I don't want to say, I can't really say right now, just since we are in a preview environment. But you'll be able to get quite a few requests per second. I will say this, there are actually a few companies that we're working with to test internally. One in particular I know of is actually running a fairly large web application. They have like some tens of thousands of users per day and many thousands of requests per minute or something. It's like they're getting quite a large number of requests, and they're actually only running on 2 small instances. And actually, they say they probably could run on 1 instance. They're actually just running on 2, just kind of for redundancy purposes. So you should be able to get a pretty impressive number of requests. We've done quite a lot of optimization. So again, that's the idea of Windows Azure websites, right? Is it just works? We've optimized everything we can think of on IIS. On .NET configuration, all kinds of stuff on Windows configuration to get the most capacity out of this. So you should be able to get a lot more. Once this hits general availability, though, we should be publishing more guidance as far as what you should expect for capacity. I know that didn't really answer your question, but sorry. So So we saw diagnostics, we saw scale. Now what I want to show you is kind of how easy it is to get started on Windows Azure. So we've got a couple different options for publishing, which I'll talk about a little bit. One of the options, though, we used Visual Studio, right? We published a few times in Visual Studio. We used EF Code first. We used Web Deploy, but we also have a variety of other publish options. The first one that I'll show you is actually really, really easy. So Windows Azure Websites, I mentioned, runs .NET sites really well. However, it also runs PHP, Node.js, kind of the idea is anything you want to run runs in Windows Azure. So we published a sort of this do-it-ourself application. The next thing I want to show you is how easy it is to publish something that's pre-existing. So we actually have a gallery of pre-existing applications that allow you to kind of get started super easy. So a lot of us have blogs. I use WordPress for my blog engine, and we make it really easy to get a site hosted with WordPress in Windows Azure. So we've got this gallery here, a variety of different applications, CMS systems, kind of all kinds of stuff, and we're adding more every day. WordPress, though, is sort of, most people probably use for their blogging. So through this gallery, we enable you to easily create websites very quickly. Let me just type in my name of this, TechEd, AU, WordPress, and some numbers just in case. The other thing you'll notice here is for those that are familiar with WordPress, it runs on PHP. It also uses MySQL as the back end. So obviously, we're Microsoft. We usually use Microsoft SQL Server. We have SQL databases running in Windows Azure, which are a shared hosting of MS SQL, which is what I showed you before. We've also partnered, though, with a company called ClearDB and actually enabled hosting of MySQL in Windows Azure. So running in the same data center, running in the cloud, we allow you to host WordPress with the native MySQL database. You can also use MySQL with any other application, so if you wanted to use that as your backend rather than SQL, you're free to do so. It works. So right now, again, we are in preview, so there's only a free offering. As we hit general availability, though, you would expect through ClearDB, we would offer a variety of different options for hosting larger database, paid databases on MySQL as well. So we select our region, we select our subscription, I'll just leave those the same. Type the name of our database, just click that we agree to the ClearDB's terms, sort of the same standard. And then just a few seconds, we're actually pulling the recent version of WordPress, and then we're setting up the database, and then we actually set up all like the connection string information that we need to get this database up and running. So this just takes a few seconds. It's going to take a little bit longer just because we are, again, downloading and setting up that WordPress site, but super easy to get started, and also allows you to host PHP. So let's just TechEd WordPress deploying. So it's deploying now. So it created our site, created our database, and there it's done. And click that. And let's browse to that. So it's just our standard WordPress setup. One thing you will notice, though, is it's not asking for our SQL connection string information. For those that are familiar with WordPress, the first time you load it, you normally provide it with your database information. So we've already done all that for you. And let's just type the name of our blog, TechEd AU 2012, username, and my password, which I will be changing. It's my demo password, so it's not really. Don't try to get any of my stuff. You can get into this WordPress site now. So let's click install WordPress. And this is just going to do our standard WordPress setup. It's setting our name of our blog, et cetera. Nothing too new here. This just should take a second. Already installed. And let's navigate to the root. We don't need to see the portal. And there, we've got a PHP site. So one thing I didn't mention, I'll talk a little bit more in a second, but we give you, Windows Azure Websites is also free. We give you 10 free websites, and that you should expect a free offering to continue even once we hit general availability. So for a lot of us that have WordPress blogs or other blogs, a lot of us are our bloggers. Windows Azure website is a great way to host your blog for free. And we do give you a pretty decent amount of compute, storage capacity, et cetera, in the free offering. So what I want to show you next, though, is something which I think is pretty cool. So we have this other tool. We have Visual Studio. We also have this other tool called Web Matrix. Web Matrix, I know a lot of people probably view it as sort of a silly thing. I did too until we made some pretty cool improvements to it. Through Web Matrix, though, we do some stuff that we don't do in Visual Studio. Web Matrix supports a variety of different IntelliSense syntax highlighting for other languages outside of .NET. So we actually support PHP IntelliSense, syntax highlighting, things like that. So what I want to show you is how easy it is to actually edit that WordPress site in our Web Matrix tool. So I already have Web Matrix installed, but we actually give you this button here. So we're actually going to, through this button I'm going to click, it's going to open our site and do everything for us to download that in Web Matrix. So it's really easy to configure our website. It's going to take a little bit to download our site and kind of get everything set up locally for testing and debugging. But again, really easy to get started. There's a couple other cool things we do with Web Matrix. We do this for PHP. We do this for Node also. But we do PHP IntelliSense. We do syntax highlighting. But we also do IntelliSense for WordPress too. So we actually we give you IntelliSense for the methods and command in PHP that are part of WordPress. So really easy to actually edit your site on using Web Matrix. This will take event internet, always fun. Sometimes I wish I was presenting on like just development or like local only things, right? Because with the cloud, there is no way to get around internet issues. But that wasn't too long. So click continue. We're gonna accept the license for WordPress, kind of in configuring that. Just configuring it for local. So this is actually going to set up MySQL I have installed locally. It's setting up a MySQL database. It's actually copying all the database information locally and setting that up for me to dev locally. Just a few seconds more. Configuring. How many people run WordPress as a blog? Or at all? Oh, not that many. We should have skipped this entirely. Yes, question real quick.
With the databases that you set up for the Azure free website,
yep.
Do you have to choose, like, in the beginning, whether you're going to go SQL or MySQL, or do you have an instance of both?
So with the quick setup, so the question was, with the Windows Azure websites, do I have to choose if I'm using MS SQL or MySQL? So the setup, like the wizard that I showed you, will just ask you to choose one or the other. However, there's no reason you couldn't add more later. So you can actually that's a good point. I'll show that in a second. We have this idea of what's called a linked resource, and you can have multiple things. So it isn't just databases. You could link storage accounts, all kinds of stuff to your website. So if we have time, I'll try to show that. But yeah, you can have a variety of different things associated with a single website. That initial create dialog we had was just kind of the getting started quick, and it asks you to choose one or the other. We've got our site downloaded. This works in a lot of different things, Orchard CMS, whatever, any content management solution you use works really easy. But we've got all these links and everything for WordPress, kind of all this standard stuff. And then I'll just show really quick. We basically have, again, syntax highlighting, et cetera, for our blog. So let me just open the header file. And you'll see we've got really nice highlighting here for this PHP application. And I'm just going to, let me just change one thing really quick, and then we'll publish this back. So instead of using this, the blog info to get the name of my site, I'm just going to hard coded name of blog. And then we can do a couple of things. We can run this locally, test it out, and we'll see our hard coded name of blog. And then we can also publish this. And again, this is using standard web deploy, so this is an incremental deployment. So this is actually only going to upload our header.php file. And this works again with not just PHP, but Node with any other language published. We also support publishing the database in a similar way we do with Visual Studio. So really, really easy. I know if a lot of us are hardcore developers, we may not want to use this, but everyone's got a blog, and I think this is pretty cool. So publish this really quick, and then it'll open up in our browser. And we'll see that change we made, hard-coded name of blog, is set there. So really easy, really easy way to get your blog set up. The other really cool thing about this that I will point out is this is a PHP site. Windows Azure website supports running multiple languages side by side. So we can actually run a PHP site, a Node site, an ASP.NET site on the same application. So if you wanted to get really crazy, that is something that we support. So before I move back to the slides to kind of wrap up here, we've got about 10 minutes left or so. Let me actually just show you a couple other things in the portal, in particular what the gentleman asked about. So the question was, can we have multiple resources in Windows Azure websites? So yes, we support actually this idea of linking your website with a lot of different things. So you can use Windows Azure Storage, you could use Service Bus, you could use MySQL, you could use MS SQL, and so we can actually add this as a linked resource. We could create a new thing. So we could create a SQL database, we could create a storage account. We don't have things like Service Bus, stuff like that yet in the portal, but you could expect that to come. So if I wanted to add a new database, I could do that and have multiple associated with your site. Now, the one thing to note about this is actually just a UI, sort of an ease feature in this. This actually doesn't really mean anything from a developer standpoint. So if I wanted to create a SQL server just outside in the portal, you can see I've got a ton of different servers here. I could create that server, create a database, and do everything manually, you know, connect to that database. The nice thing about those linked resources is we do all that nice magic behind the scenes with the publish profile, bringing in the connection strings, all that stuff for you. So it makes it super easy. But there's no reason why you can't use the full set of Windows Azure with Windows Azure websites. You could actually even create a virtual machine. Say you wanted to run your own instances of MySQL, you could create a Linux virtual machine, set up MySQL, and connect your website to that, or set up MS SQL and connect to that. So you can connect Windows Azure websites to the full suite of Windows Azure services. It isn't just limited to these simple scenarios. So let me switch back to the slides here real quick and just kind of go through a little bit more. There's one other thing I wanted to show in the portal really quickly. Let's open that site we just created there. So one thing you'll notice here, I showed you the hardcore diagnostics, how we can go in and FTP to the site, look at the logs, look at the errors, things like that. But the other thing to notice is in the portal, we give you a very high level of your website. We give you this first off, when you just open your site, we kind of give you these nice graphs. So you can see like things like requests per second. You can see how much storage you've used, CPU time, all kinds of things like that, just through the portal. So if you want to just get a high level overview of your site, you don't need to go in and do, you know, you don't need to dive into your website. You can also add some custom metrics there. These are basically the standard ones that we support, adding these custom metrics, things like that. The other thing to note is, remember I changed those diagnostic settings earlier. It's common to have a bunch of app settings with your site, right? We actually allow you to edit your configuration file, your app settings, your connection strings through the portal. So if you have, say, some information, say like you're a Facebook developer and you have a Facebook app ID or something, you can go ahead and edit all that stuff in the portal without redeploying. So the idea is, again, we make this very simple, very easy for you to get started. You can turn off PHP, all kinds of stuff. You can set the default documents, all kinds of things right from the portal, and then scale. So that's kind of the gist of Windows Azure websites. I know for a lot of developers, this does seem pretty simple, right? I mean, this is kind of, a lot of this is 101 basic things, but this really is the point of Windows Azure websites. It is very easy to use. There isn't a lot of knowledge you need to have as far as managing IIS, all this back-end stuff. It is a 0 to 5 minutes, get started deploying your application, whether it's pre-built, whether it's an existing application, or get started with a brand new application. So in my opinion, this is the easiest way to get started with cloud hosting, even if you're doing something as simple as only deploying your blog there. So let me switch back to the slides here and just do a little bit of quick summary and additional information. Okay, perfect. So I mentioned a little bit earlier, we support a variety of frameworks, all the way back from classic ASP. How many people in here actually have a classic ASP site still running? Don't be afraid to raise your hand. So a lot of people. So again, Classic ASP runs in Windows Azure websites. So something I think is really cool about this is, you know, if you're sick of managing, I can't even remember what, you know, you're probably running on like .NET or like Windows NT, something horrible. Like, if you're sick of maintaining that server, you can move that website running on something old on-premise or on in a co-located environment. You could move that likely without any code changes to the cloud, support all the things we support in Windows Azure. So we support .NET, obviously. We support PHP, Node.js, we saw, and more coming soon. We also support a few different publish methods. So I showed you how you could publish with Web Deploy through Visual Studio, also through Web Matrix, and I also showed you how you could connect up to FTP. There's two things that I didn't show, though. One is Git. For those that do use Git source control, it's becoming more popular. We do support publishing your website through Git. So if you don't want to use, if you just want to use the command line, or if you're building a Node app or something like that, you can publish your app using Git source control. If that's not for you, we also support TFS. For those that were in the demo yesterday, you saw a little bit of this, but we actually support continuous integration, continuous deployment through Team Foundation services. So it's very easy. Basically, we actually offer you a wizard where you can link your Windows Azure websites to a TFS service, and every time you check in, you can make it deploy to Windows Azure websites in just a matter of a few minutes. So this enables you not just to deploy directly, but you could do things like run your unit tests, you know, do have some checks, all the things you would expect from a rich team integration, team collaboration environment. So a very nice way to deploy to Windows Azure websites, especially if you're more than just a single developer. Yes, quick question. TFS Express. So specifically what I'm talking about is TFS hosted services. So we make it really easy for our hosted TFS. It's also possible. It's actually really easy. What is TFS? I don't actually know what TFS Express is. Oh, yes. That's actually just a licensing thing. That's actually not a feature thing. You can if you're running TFS on-premise, you can also very easily set up the same continuous deployment to Windows Azure websites. It's a little more of a manual process, but we actually give you like the, it's just one file. You basically just need to import like a, the publish command file. You can easily do it on-premise. With TFS hosted, this new hosted service we offer, we do kind of do all the linking and stuff for you. But if you're running TFS on-premise, you can absolutely do that continuous integration too. And this also, I should know that the TFS deployment works also with our cloud services. So if you have a bigger solution with multiple different options, you can actually do a variety of different deployments through TFS. So some pretty exciting stuff there. I also showed you WordPress, how to deploy that. So if you're running WordPress, we've got that. We also have a lot of different partners, either currently or coming to Windows Azure websites. So ClearDB is our partner that hosts MySQL. We partner with some other companies, SendGrid, to do email services. We partner with like Joomla, Umbraco, WordPress, Drupal to put those in the gallery for Windows Azure websites. So a lot of partners. You can expect more partners coming soon. So if you're not a SQL dev, if you don't want to use MS SQL or MySQL, you can expect us to start offering more services this way, like MongoDB hosts that are ClearDB, all kinds of different things will be coming with Windows Azure websites in the future. I showed you a lot of different things. I hope through all that you saw how easy it was to get started with Windows Azure websites. Start simple, code smart, go live. These things we talked about in the very beginning. So starting simple. One thing I mentioned briefly, we give you free websites free hosting with Windows Azure websites, and you can expect this to continue when we go live. Right now you get 10 free websites, so if you want to host a simple web application, if you want to host your WordPress blog, we give it to you for free, you can do that. I showed a variety, we deployed like 5 or 6 times just in the course of this 45 minutes, 50 minutes, so it's really easy to deploy to Windows Azure websites. Also, I showed you how easy it is to scale. We can scale from a very small shared instance up to a very large multiple VM environment without taking our application down. We do load balancing, all kinds of stuff for you. Code smart, whatever language you prefer to develop in, ASP.NET, of course, and the other ones, you can run on Windows Azure websites. You can use a variety of different database options. So there's a lot of choice, VS, Web Matrix, whatever works for you. And then go live. We talked about the different deployment options. We talked about the TFS, the monitoring, the performance, all that stuff that's available for the if you want to dive in hardcore to your application, when you when you need to check out failed requests and the logs, things like that. So lots of different options with Windows Azure websites. I really hope that you got how simple this was. Again, I mentioned a lot of these things we saw today are kind of the 101 basic stuff. But don't forget though that you can also deploy very large applications. We have some partners we've been working with that are starting to deploy very large applications to Windows Azure websites. So everything from a simple WordPress blog up to a very high scale application can run on this platform. So I think we're about 5 minutes early. Yeah, we've got about 5 minutes, so we'll do a little bit of Q&A. I have some T-shirts, I guess. One thing really quick before we do Q&A, please complete your evaluations. You can win a mouse, some sort of touch mouse, very exciting. The evals really help us improve the session, the slides, things like that. So definitely submit your session evaluations to help me and also other people that may be presenting this talk in the future. With that, thank you very much, and we'll do Q&A for anyone who wants to stay for 5 minutes. Yes, in the front. So the question was, how do you set up stored procedures in this environment if you're doing SQL? So what I showed you was actually a very easy way to get started with our SQL databases running in Windows Azure. However, that doesn't mean you don't have full access. This is a full SQL database running in the cloud. So if you want to connect up to your database using SQL Management Server, you absolutely can do that. So I showed you kind of the very quick getting started, but you have the full ability to connect to your database and do whatever you want with it. So there's very little limitations. You can think of this as just any SQL database. It just happens to be running in Windows Azure in a managed environment. Yes, you think you were next? Yep. So the question was, if you're running something like WordPress or .NET Nuke, are the databases that go with that free? So that's actually something we don't have an answer for yet, since we are in preview. Everything with MySQL is free right now. With SQL, you're actually going to pay the normal rates for MSSQL in the cloud. I would anticipate that we will be offering some sort of free data option as well. It may be a smaller database, because right now when we create a DB, you're going to get a 1 gigabyte database. We may offer a smaller one. Right now, though, I don't have an answer for that. However, I would expect we would offer some sort of free offering for that. MySQL is free right now. ClearDB does offer a free solution on their other platforms. They only offer the free one right now in Windows Azure, but when we go live, they'll offer larger deployments. And I would expect, since they offer free databases on other platforms, they will continue to offer a free offering on Windows Azure as well. Yes, go ahead. So, yes, okay, so the question is, if you're using source control, I think you specifically mean TFS, and you check in and deploy, what happens if you have multiple websites in source control? That's actually really easy. It's actually a configuration option in the deployment. You actually tell the deployment options which solution file is associated with your website. If you're running if you have multiple websites in the same solution file in TFS, I believe there is a command to do that. I don't know off the top of my head. I know that is something that's possible, though, because it's very common to have multiple sites in the same repository in TFS. Yes. Is the question? Is there release dates? Not yet. No. I would expect it to be. It's not going to be a year. It's not going to be next week. So, sorry, I know that's vague and no one likes that answer, but they'll fire me if I give you anything else. No. yes, go ahead. Any DNS management tools in the portal? Right now, actually, we don't have any DNS tools with Windows Azure at all. We don't offer a DNS service. That is something people have asked for. It's feedback we've received. My hope would be that eventually we would offer a DNS service. I know our largest competitor offers a DNS service, but right now we don't have anything for that. I think you were next, maybe. I don't know. So question, what sort of identity and access management options do you have? So with Windows Azure websites, there's nothing necessarily specific to that for identity and access. But we do offer with Windows Azure, we do have something called access control services. We also have what we call Windows Azure Active Directory. Windows Azure Active Directory service. Our ACS service, our access control services, are a service that does identity federation. So it allows you to basically build an application that connects to, say, Windows Live, ADFS, Facebook, Google, whatever, a variety of different identity solutions to federate those into a single application. We also offer what we call Windows Azure Active Directory, and this is basically an identity, a business identity management solution. It's actually the solution that our Office 365 product is built on. Does sort of groups things like that. So those are separate services from Windows Azure websites, but they are available in Windows Azure. Yes, I think you were. So the question is, if you have a testing, a staging, and a live environment in Windows Azure websites, how would you handle that? So right now, we actually don't offer any support. For those that are familiar with Windows Azure, we don't have anything specific for that. For those that are familiar with Windows Azure development, in our cloud services, we offer this concept of staging and production, which allows you to do a swap, just basically an adjustment of our load balancer. Without downtime. We don't offer anything like that yet in Windows Azure websites. It is something people have asked for. It's not something that's necessarily on our roadmap yet, but it would be nice if that was something that was coming in the future. It's something we've certainly looked at. So if you want to track the stats on your website, that is something we don't offer a service for. I use Google Analytics on my blog. we don't have a service for that. Again, that's something people have asked for. We don't offer any sort of front-end stats for your blog. There's a lot of third parties that do that. I think you were... No, absolutely not. Nope. Question was, do you have to have an Office 365 account to use Windows Azure? Definitely not. We are actually out of time, so I don't want to hold you guys up for the next session. If you asked a question, I have some free T-shirts that I'll give you. I'll be available. If you guys have any other questions, I'll be here to answer them. Otherwise, I can give you my card, and feel free to email me. So thank you very much again. Please submit your evaluations. I hope you guys learned a lot in this hour. Thanks.